Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the guests only and do not represent in any way the views of their companies. This is an exploration of the guest's journey and views only. On today's episode, I'm going to chat with Messi. Messi doesn't have the most typical career in music industry. He's actually into tech and he's the CEO of the company Gather. And today we're going to learn more about his journey in the industry and about his company. Hi, Messi. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Sofiko.
I'm so happy to have you. So let's start with your background first.
You know, it's funny. I always try to struggle where to start with my background, but I feel like the easiest place to start with is that I started rapping in high school, just sort of as a fun outlet. But I was always a math and science kid too. It's sort of like my secret little thing that I got to do, but also you can't really be secret in rap because it's such a showy thing. So, right, you know, like how do you do that? So I tried to balance it. But I kept pursuing math and science, but I always had this sort of itch to get more and more into it. And I started to learn how to produce because I wanted to have more control over my tracks and the story and the feeling going on in them. But I ended up going to Rice University for engineering, and I sort of took a break from music and then took this class at the end of my freshman year called Experimental Electronic Music. And that was like such a mind like blowing class. It was like coding. It was just like coding music and synths that you could do whatever your mind could imagine from the ground up with a nice visual program language called Max. It's called Max now, but originally at the time, Max MSP. It's really cool. If you want to nerd out and really get depths into that stuff, look up Max Bicycling 74. But yeah, I had this amazing professor, and this was the first time, you know, my little science math, person was actually in real classes with real artists and like, you know, students studying music. And this was at the Shepherd School of Music, which is, you know, a conservatory. And, so it's way more geared towards sort of weird experimental stuff, like weird and classical music and not sort of like pop weird. But it really sort of forced me to like think outside the box. And like our final piece was like, I get to work with like an electrical engineer and then two performance majors and a composition major. And we wrote a piece for like violin, flute and Nintendo 64 controller, which I programmed to like cue the piece. And it was like a 12.2 surround sound speaker system inside of like an art installation space. And I got to move the sounds and it was super weird and glitchy with samples of video game sounds and flutes. It was like, just blew my mind of like what music and art could be. And that was like, wow, there's something really cool here that just people aren't doing, that I think at some point in my life, I really want to push and pursue. And that's not really where I start. I mean, I started getting into music. I sort of went back to rapping and production a little bit more, but I leaned more and more after that to production and less on hip hop. And more towards adding more experimental stuff and focusing on sort of the technique of sound design and really loving to do sort of out of the box things. I still kept pursuing engineering and engineering leadership, and sort of in the process, I also got really into physics and sound. And I spent a year in a neuroscience lab for sound and vibration perception. And that was like really cool to see, like learn how we as humans perceive sound and vibration, and how we can mess with those senses. And then I spent another 2.5 years in an acoustic physics lab where I did research on sound wave propagations through like weird, what they're called metamaterials, where you get to mess with the properties using high level mathematics and make sound waves do cool and weird things. And without getting too much in the details, my thesis was on making essentially a one-way sound mirror. So, you know, like those mirrors you see in the cop shows where, you know, you can't, it looks like it's reflecting, but the cops can see through the other side, essentially that, but with sound. But tunable. So you could actually change which way the mirror could go in real time, and sort of the theoretics as well as some of the actually building an experimentation to sort of prove we could do that in concept. So yeah, that was my research. And I had an amazing mentor. Honestly, like, I think having an amazing mentor to push you to your limit and figure out like what you actually can do and know what you need to do to actually operate at sort of that like top plane, as like was really like what helped me like push me to go start my own company, and sort of pursue music. Even though he kind of lovingly wanted me to pursue academia and go to get a PhD, he respected what I wanted to do and my interests. And so it was there that like I was like, well, I kind of want to actually have a chance to pursue my music career now. And I just knew nothing about how to market music. I was just like, I know how to make sounds. I know how I would perceive them. I just don't know how to show them to people. And it was that I decided to like, well, let me approach this problem of like, I don't know how to market music. That's a problem. Like, as an engineer and scientist, I'm trained to problem solve, right? And so I'm trained for, you know, years how to take some problems, break them down into little chunks, and then build them up and solve them until you can really get towards an answer. And that's what I did. Is I broke down this problem of how do you promote your music in a way that's effective, new, and novel. And what I realized was that, you know, I found influencer marketing and started to study marketing. You know, I did what, you know, scientists do. You read the literature, you come up with a hypothesis, then you go and talk to a bunch of people and realize your hypothesis is totally wrong. and then you kind of start from scratch, but you gain a lot of knowledge in the process, right? You know, talking to dozens of artists, labels, managers. I think I had like 75 meetings by the end of the summer after my school. I did an amazing accelerator program through Rice University called AlSpark. And what I ended up finding is that like a lot of people just like want to promote their music. The original idea was actually like to sell royalties as sort of stocks. And people invest into songs they think are going to blow up, and then, you know, sell them to fans. And actually that thing's actually kind of becoming a thing again with these, you know, non-fungible tokens, the NFTs. But you know, we'll see if that's really going to pan out, but it was a little too early at the time, you know, two years ago. And so what we ended up deciding and realizing the actually thing that artists wants is like getting their music out there, and they're willing to pay for it. And so like, that's like, as an entrepreneur, that's like step one, is like realizing there's a problem and it's not being adequately solved. So making an easy go-to place for as an artist, like, all right, I have a little bit of money saved up, or a label, like, you know, we have money, but we're not feeling we're super effective with all the money we're spending. The major labels have kind of got it down because they're able to leverage all these relationships they have, and they have huge budgets, so they can do all these huge things. But that's once the artist has already gotten to a certain point. And so the trick is figuring out, okay, how do we get these artists from, you know, they've gotten themselves where the content is good and it's quality and it's starting to get some traction, but let's start to accelerate that and really get that content in front of more people and help make it pop, and sort of stand out against the crowd. And so I'd been a watcher of Twitch, twitch.tv, which is, you know, Amazon's online streaming platform, about 35 million hours or so watched each day. And you have a lot of gamers there playing games, and a lot of them have music in the background. And I realized like so many people are like, oh, what's that song? Or like they're little chat bots that you can go and get the song, but no one's made it as a way for discoverability and to optimize with the artist, and make sure that it's what the audience wants, it's what the artist wants, and as a way to get artists and label songs into these playlists. Cause we have hundreds and thousands and even tens of thousands of people watching. But that's valuable, but it takes a real pipeline to be able to get a high volume of tracks that fit with the audience and the vibe and make discoverability easy. And so that's what we spent the past year and a half building out, is this pipeline system where artists and labels can come to us and they want to go get their songs promoted. And we have AI that matches their songs with the desires of the audience and the streamers and put in there an optimal number of times. We do a bunch of things to make sure they keep the streamers happy, the audience happy. So, you know, song name, you know, artist name, cover artist seen on, you know, stream when the song changes, and links for the, you know, the chat can get, and, you know, we can show the clicks, you know, we make sure chat gets more songs that the ones they like and they heard, And artists get their, you know, song heard by a bunch of more new people in a very organic setting. And that really allows them to build familiarity with the song, not just by, you know, seeing it, you know, once in a playlist, but by, you know, hearing the song, you know, multiple times, you know, over a period of a month. And also we like to pair it with, you know, multiple songs from the artist. So they get, you know, the recognition of the artist's name, they get the sound, they get the vibe, and they start to build a deeper attachment to the artist. And as it, you know, builds culture with the streamer as well. You know, streamers get music, it helps increase engagement. So it's really just a win-win for everybody on the side. And so in that way, we're able to do, you know, pretty very, very competitive prices when it comes to the marketing and impressions.
That's so interesting. And how it, like, let's pretend that I'm an artist. I want to work with you.
Yeah.
Do I apply? Do you have like a form or something? How do I apply if I want to be included in the?
So we're in beta right now. We are working in the process of getting a bunch of streamers on board. So we've been spent a long time sort of getting the technology to a place where the streamers like it. And so now we're getting it to a point where the artists. So the best way to get in contact and sign up to be a beta is go to gether.to, G-E-T-H-R.to. So that's gether, but without the second E, .to. And so you can sign up there. That's our, you know, landing page website. We have a whole nother website built out that's a little bit technical for the streamers and to create the playlist, but that's just our pretty little landing page site for now. And we'll be building out a more formal login portal for the artists and stuff like that. But right now we're just sort of handing it, you know, as startups do for, you know, other entrepreneurs, is the key is to be speedy and quick and, you know, make sure you're building something that people want. And, you know, we've had desire and ask for it. And so now we just want to make sure that it's something that y'all find value in. And I, you know, something that, you know, me as an artist myself, I want to find value in and make sure it's, you know, doing work for me too, right? This is not just a way to make money, because this all started with, it's like, I don't know how to promote music. And so I've been in that search of how to answer that, you know, question, and do it as optimally as possible. And sort of in that process, totally, actually, it was off to the side. I have a bunch of friends in the meme community, especially on Instagram, and they make mostly video memes, but some picture memes, and some are like original content creators, and some are just repost pages where they repost other people's memes. But there was an issue going on with Instagram where they had, and it still happens quite a bit, is really sort of poor content moderation, especially for meme pages. And one of the sort of the fundamental issues is that Instagram makes, you know, billions of dollars each year off of content creators without paying any of them, right? So the only way to make money on Instagram really is, you know, through affiliate marketing or selling ads. And so it's tough for meme pages to get advertisers, because they just don't build them. The advertisers don't really come to meme pages just because of, I think, concerns about branding, just, you know, how to access them and sort of what kind of ads and engagement they're going to get. And, you know, the typical influencer marketing, there's like a personality to attach the product to. And, you know, meme pages, there's less, you know, often a personality. It's just more of sort of the content. And so what this has forced a bunch of meme pages to do is do OnlyFans ads. If you're familiar with OnlyFans, you know, it's theoretically, it's sort of like Patreon, where you can go and have a subscription and allow your, you know, fans to get whatever content you want, but it is notoriously known for essentially porn and models, quote unquote. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't have any personal issues with sex work in general, but my biggest issue is that, especially with the meme pages, is their followers are largely kids. Like they're about 30 to 40% from like 10 to like 14 or 18. And then we have about another like 40 to, you know, 60%, you know, 18 to 25. Obviously that's a different thing, but even still, like it's pretty frustrating when you're just trying to be on Instagram, like looking at memes, and then there's like butt cheeks just on your screen and some like very lewd dressed woman. You can't have your phone out in public on Instagram. It's just like, you know, like I get you're trying to get your bag, but like, you know, now I can't use my phone in public. I mean, it's a little bit easier with the pandemic, but like, you know, one day I'd hopefully like to go back into public. And so this became a real problem. And you have a bunch of original content creators, OC creators, who really like, they like making content. They don't want to do ads because they've really built a brand on like, I never do ads. I'm just a content creator. And so they sort of put themselves in this position where they're like, oh, well, like, I've spent so many hours. I now have like tens or hundreds of thousands or, you know, of followers. And, but, you know, how do you move on, you know, from that? Like, well, I kind of want to do this professionally, but I kind of said I'm not going to do ads and Instagram's not paying them. But they like, sure. And a lot of the people in our community, well, not a lot of them, all of them, that's how we formed, was like, we don't want to do OnlyFans ads for the obvious reasons I just said, the kids and just having that stuff on people's feeds. So like, we built this community around, you know, giving creators an opportunity to help grow each other, but more importantly, do ads in a way that works with their brand mm-hmm. and doesn't hurt them, you know, in front of their viewers by, you know, doing ads that annoys, you know, and gets low engagement, hurts their, you know, growth inside the system. And we've done that is by, you know, doing music ads. And by music ads, what we do is, you know, they create, you know, video content that goes along sort of with the aesthetics of your video. And we as a company, IGCA, jokingly stands for Incredibly Great Creator Alliance. and so, you know, build a campaign of how, like, we take some snippet of your song and figure out, okay, what's the emotion? What is the viral trend we want to create around the song? And figure out, you know, start creating content around how that clip of that song could be used and start putting it out on the internet. And, you know, these videos from our creators get, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of views. You know, that's your song getting heard a ton of times. And then we have our repost pages reposting this content as well. You know, further pushing the song on the internet. And then we don't just create one video. We create, you know, if the budget's there, you know, a dozen or, you know, five, six, and sort of different examples of how to use that song clip. And what that does is that tells the internet, okay, this is how you use that song. Oh, I can use it. You can use it for a certain scenario and create these trends and these challenges, right? That, that people want to go and, to use as a creative way to use that clip to like, oh, I need an idea for a content. Oh, I can use that song. And instead of using, you know, they know how to use that song. And so it makes creating content easier. And so that's how these trends work, is we want to actually lower the burden in that effort of making it easier to use your song, because they kind of already have a get an idea of how to use it. Like the da, 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 like that, like la, la, la. But like, I actually had a meeting with BB No Money 2 weeks ago. About that. And there's an idea of how to use that song, right? And so that's why people go to it. Is one, it's not just catchy, but people know how to use it. And by know how to use it, it makes their life as a creator, you know, more simple and straightforward. We limit the palette, you know, for these artists, and that makes them more likely to use your song. And what that means is more free marketing and advertising, not just by us, is we want other creators to go and start using your song for their mm-hmm. videos, for their memes, for their edits, for their TikTok.
Wait, so is it like two separate companies, or it's kind of working together?
So yes, I mean, yes and no, yes and yes. so yes, we are two separate companies, but we do work together in the sense that they're both music promotion, but they go about it in different ways. And I think long-term, we'll unite them and essentially offer packages. But they obviously operate in different systems, but I think they're important in different ways. The Twitch is really good, I think, at establishing more familiarity with a brand, an artist, over a longer period of time. It's like a deeper attachment. And also to figure out which of your songs are the hotter ones. You've dropped a couple songs in the past, you know, 6 months. And let's go, you know, push them all out, and then you can, you know, get a fair view. You know, and they'll mm-hmm. appear in these streams, see which one's doing, you know, may already have some idea. This can help, you know, further fulfill that, also build a deeper relationship. And then, you know, at the same time, go launch, you know, campaign with one of those songs, the one that's doing well, build that virality up. And then, you know, those audience between Twitch and the meme pages, you know, overlap to some degree. And then like, oh, they like that, their song's starting to go viral. They hear it, you know, in multiple videos. Well, then then they're also watching Twitch and they hear like, oh, this song sounds like familiar. And then like, oh, they see the artist on Twitch and then they see another song. And so they become way much more of a deeper level fan because they have that one song that they everyone can relate to. But then they're also engaged and pushed to just explore your catalog more deeply and become those super fans who, you know, who go to the shows, who buy the merch, who really generate a huge fraction of your revenue.
And another question that I have is, so once an artist uploads his music on your through your website, do you need to kind of approve those songs, or you'll be like, do you basically work with everybody, or you're saying no to a lot of people? And like, once you have those songs kind of approved and you have them in your database, how do you match them with the influencers? You said you have like an AI algorithm, so it's all automated, or sometimes you just choose by yourself. And also, is it like a one-time thing, like you use the song once and then not really, or you can repeat the same song to different people and they play it several times, or like...
Yeah, all very, very good questions. So let's start with the first one, if I remember correctly, is asking upload other criteria and, you know, do we reject songs? So like I mentioned, we're in beta. So we're working right now on closing a pretty big deal with some stream teams to really expand the number of streamers we have. So we do use AI to help facilitate and put the songs automatically in a playlist, and that will allow us to scale things up in a very cheap manner. So when you go into promotion, especially when you work with other labels or promoting agencies, you're having to pay not just for the playlist, but you're having to pay a bunch of middlemen for their creative work of choosing and posting. That's where we can lower our prices, is because all we are doing is getting the song directly inside the streamer's playlist, and then paying them a little bit to make sure they play the music loud and keep the music hype. And they get paid more based on how loud they play the music and how many clicks they're driving through for artists. So they're able to...
And is it all automated? Like, how do you control all the process?
Yeah, so it's all automated. So we in the beginning, we're doing sort of double checks by hand and making sure everything is working and we don't have something totally miss, go to the wrong place and do a bad job. So we're sort of double checking everything and, further training our algorithms. But yeah, long term, it'll be automated. And we have ways, sometimes that, you even think you have a song that your friend's music taste, like, oh, I think you'll like this song. And they get it wrong. And you're like, nope, I don't. And, sometimes it'll be wrong. And so the streamers can, if they skip a song twice, that it'll be removed for the playlist. And so to answer, I think part B of question one was that, or maybe this is question two, is, is a song just goes there once or is it played multiple times? No, we play, your song is played multiple times per stream. So the average streamer streams about 6 to 8 hours, 5 days a week or so, 5 or 6 days a week. And so your song will be there multiple times each stream and then for weeks on end. So your song will be played and played and played, sort of like the radio. And so, that's going to really help make sure that the audience builds familiarity with it. And sometimes it'll be playing, there'll be a lot of action-y parts in the games and it's not heard, super well. And, more people focus on that. But over time, there will be, there'll be lulls, there'll be, waiting screens where it sort of gets up. There'll be, as they're called, dead air moments where not a bunch of things are going on in the stream. And so that's where the music sort of rises and engages people. And so, over time, even if it's not heard just perfectly well in one instance, there will be times where it's very heard very well. And even if they sort of subconsciously hear it the first few times by hearing it sort of the background, by the time they hear it clearly, they've already sort of developed that ear candy where it's sort of, earwormed into their brain and like they have that familiarity with it and like, oh yeah, start to tap their feet, nod their head, hum along to it, and they don't even remember listening to the song. So that's the way we're sort of able to build out that familiarity and I believe drive real value for, artists, creatives, labels. And then I think there was one more question. So the criteria is we don't right now. So we're with this new deal of a bunch of streamers coming up. We're going to, you know, figure out the sort of genres that they can handle. The great thing is that we can do a wide like once we know a streamer is fine with a certain style of music, since they stream for so many hours a day. We have the ability to like handle dozens of artists for a single streamer. So that's the great, it's tough to sort of get that minimum payload to actually drive value, because you need a couple streamers with a large viewership to make it work. But once you hit that, you know, we really believe we can hit quite a large number of viewers. And so, you know, our criteria is that, you know, we'll be checking things by hand, like I said, and for the beginning, and make sure the, you know, quality is sort of up to snuff. It's professional, you know, professionally mixed, recorded, and isn't going to annoy the streamer, isn't going to annoy the audience, and is going to go with the general streamer's vibes and the style and the aesthetic they're liking. And they may have a more wide variety of music they play in the stream, and some like, you know, they have a more narrow, you know, soundscape that they want. And that's just part of their brand and their taste. And so we want to make sure it fits that. So there may be, you know, scenarios where like, oh, that's a great song, you know, but we just don't have any streamers for country music right now. Sorry. You know, and on the flip side, we do have one of our larger streamers is, he's Romanian, but has a large Russian audience. And so he plays Dota. And so that is an example of like, I would say normally we only focus on English language, but he has a pretty big mix of US audience and Russian, but for the most part US. But I think that's a place where he does play some like Russian music, and that his audience is familiar and used to that, even American. So that's something where that could work. But he also does play American stuff too. And there, you know, for now, you know, there are services, and we might build out our own or work with a third party sort of vetter that will sort of check and listen to your recording to see if it meets production quality up to snuff, if it seems well mixed and mastered, or if it sort of just seems, I don't want to say bedroom produced, because, you know, I produce in my bedroom, but also I'm very tedious and spend a bunch of very time making sure the levels work and are right, and then send it off to professional master. So it's one of those things. If this is your first project ever making music, and, you know, you've been doing it for, you know, a year or two, and you have a track, this may not be, you know, may not be ready. Make sure that you go show it to people you don't know and see what their response is. And if you're showing people you don't know and they're not looking you in the face and trying to like tell you, oh yeah, it's great, if you can put it out, people, and they're people who don't know, continuously give it very positive reviews, then yeah, that's something that we are totally, you know, up to look for. So, you know, I don't want to set any sort of criteria, because I know there's people who have, you know, zero followers on Spotify who make great content. Like, I haven't released any of my music on Spotify yet. So, but I wouldn't rule myself out, right? So I don't want to rule that for anyone else. But, you know, it just takes time and experience. And if you don't get accepted for the first round, I think that just means that, like, yo, keep working on it. I listen to my music that I made, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm just like, dude, what are you doing, man? All the compressors are wrong. Are you just throwing compressors on, just choosing random settings? Like, there's no transient shaping. You know, what sound design is this? Like, what's the panning going on right there? You know, like, yeah, it's just stuff that like you can kind of nerd out about and laugh about. But like, once you sort of get that idea and understand elements and building blocks of songs and how the puzzle pieces can fit together in new creative ways, then I think you start to get to that point where like, you've sort of hit that level of artistry that we can really make your stuff pop. And part of it is accepting is like, I don't want to take your money and know that it's not going to do well and just take your money, because like, you know, go through it and no one clicks on it and you're like, ah, oh, you stole my money.
And about money, if I don't know if it's like open information, do you have like a fixed fee or fixed fee per song, per an artist, or?
So right now we're doing it sort of per impression for a song. So impression is your song being heard for 3 minutes at a nominal level. So obviously it's kind of, you know, hard to tell, because certain streamers will play the music pretty soft, and some others will play it loud. Like Cancel Dota, our Dota streamer, he plays it really loud, and it's like a great, it's always a vibe and bop going on inside a stream. So like his impressions are worth more, you know, than having your song played in someone else's stream who, you know, they play it more softly. There, it will show the cover art and song name, artist name, that'll pop back and forth when they change songs. You know, so y'all are still getting value there. But, you know, it's hard to, you know, hard to say what a nominal value is, but where you can clearly, you know, when not full action is going, but a character sort of walking around and occasionally clicking and shooting or talking, and you can still sort of hear the melody is what I say, is that you need to be able to hear the melody. And if you can just sort of barely hear the melody going on in the lead of the song, then that's our standard sort of price point. And that's at, you know, $1 per thousand impressions. Pretty cheap comparatively, compared to a lot of other sources for promoting music. And that's 3 minutes, right? It's not just hearing a clip of the song, it's 3 minutes. And then for the meme pages, getting videos there, it sort of depends on your price point. If you've already made a video and you just want your video reposted by a repost page, it's going to depend on the size of the page and their typical engagement. So, you know, we have some pages that have we have multiple pages that have 200,000 followers, but, you know, one page is she posts like, you know, 15 times a day, and each post, you know, video gets an average 15,000 views. But another dude who posts, you know, once or twice a day, but his average viewership is like 260,000 views per video, right? So like, we don't just have a flat rate per post. We do it based on how engaged and how many views typically this person generates per video. But we do it pretty cheaply because, you know, especially if the video matches their brand. So we can talk to you more about that, but you know, it would vary, but I'd say, let's say someone who gets around 100,000 views per video, and you want a story post, a post inside of the feed, you know, that would cost around, you know, $30 to $40. Maybe actually for 100,000, no, that would cost more for 100,000. It'd be closer to $100. But again, that's getting your song heard 100,000 times, because a view is,
that's incredible, actually,
the video for 3 seconds. So
yeah.
So that's, you know, pretty solid there. You know, so they're both about, you know, $1 per thousand impressions. But just for the memes, we don't guarantee the impressions. We just go based on past things, because that's how these creators like to get paid. And one thing you learn in entrepreneurship is you price things and do things how people want to work around them, and don't try to force people to do things they're not used to and don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But that being said, especially when you do want to do like a couple videos, you know, some may underperform, but some may also overperform. So things end up typically balancing out anyway. Yeah. And then also if you want to do a creative aspect, we're having the creator go and like have our video team go and take, you know, clips of videos and stuff and add your music to them, so they go and make sense. You know, we can work on that as well. And they can, depending on the creator, how much time you want in the video can range from, if they're posting it to their channel, if this is just for, you know, other repost pages, can range anywhere from, you know, $30 to around $200, but mm-hmm. still way cheaper than producing a $2,000 music video, right? So
yeah,
and these are just, you know, 30-second, 15-second clips, but it's, you know, like TikTok, it's enough to sort of make the song pop and stand out and see if it's going to get some traction and move on from there.
That's incredible. This is so impressive how you have two startups going on right now. And I think the idea is very good, and I'm wishing you best of luck with your project. I think they have a great potential. And with that, we're kind of wrapping up the official part of the podcast. At the end, I also ask some very short questions.
Okay.
Do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations for our listeners?
Oh, I mean, I feel I gotta do music because this is a music podcast, right? So I am a huge fan of Alon Moore, Alon space Mor. This guy is a wunderkind. You know, you can go read his, you know, website and blog to learn, you know, more about him, but like just his most recent album is pretty good, but the album before that is just a sonic journey into, it's some of the most incredible sound design I have ever heard. I mean, you are in, you know, like you know, Inception, where like the buildings are caving and it's like you, the drops and the like, it is metal twisting, crashing glass, but also mixed with a beautifully recorded symphony, like full orchestra, it, you know, not just like MIDI synths, but real instruments like played and swell, and the dynamics are just beautiful. It's just, yeah, I could go on. Also, I really like Bon Iver and Sufjan Stevens. Sufjan Stevens released an album last year that I think is quite good. My favorite album of his is Age of Odds. It's, I have this, I you know, and this is kind of, my music probably falls along the same thing, but a mixture of like pop, orchestral, and experimental with like, you know, elements of electronic and a little bit of elements of hip hop. Sometimes, not so much in Sufjan, but my own personal style, but like both of those artists are just fantastic artists.
Thank you. Who is your celebrity crush?
Ooh, celebrity crush. Gotta be careful on this one. I don't really have a celebrity crush. I don't know. I feel like I've tried to like not. Yeah, you know why? It's because I know there's like some, being in the music business, like you randomly every once in a while just bump into like pretty famous people, and like I don't want to like pedestal someone in my mind and then just like have like, oh, they're a normal human in front of my face right now, and I gotta treat them like, you know, not a pedestal. So I feel like I try to avoid doing that. But there's just a lot of beautiful people, and cool and interesting people. I wish, you know, you should have given me these questions ahead of time. I would have been able to prepare, you know.
That's not interesting then.
Oh yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. So I guess I don't have one, I guess is my final answer.
Okay. What is your, the most useless talent that you have?
My most useless, I would say making music now. it's been useful in theory yet, right? You have to go have a, you know, turn into success. But my most useless talent, see, that I was always jealous of people in like high school and middle school who could whistle like well, or like do the weird things where like they like with your tongue were like slap and like be really loud. I can't do like, I don't have one of those really like weird cool like party trick talents. Yeah, wow, you're really making me feel embarrassed here. I feel super underprepared. Like I can barely like play on a keyboard most of my stuff. I just paint my music and via MIDI, and I do some beat pad work, but like I used to be able to do integration by parts for all you math fans out there. But it's probably now I can't even do that. So I'm not even sure if it's just not even a useful talent, because it's not a talent. So I'm really just whiffing on these questions.
No, it's okay. Who inspires you the most?
That's a good question. You know, I find artists, you know, inspiring me, but I also find entrepreneurs, and good politicians, if there's such thing anymore. like, you know, I think, you know, Elon Musk can be pretty inspiring with, you know, with the size and scope of his things. But one thing I try not to put anyone on a pedestal, and try to remember that everyone's human, and like they can do stuff that's really cool. And like, oh my gosh, I wish I had thought of that. Or like, that's going to be so like changing for the world. But like, you know, I always just try to be careful that like people are people. And yeah, you have some, you know, amazingly talented ones, but like you always have to try to hold everyone to account to continuously be their best and not just skate on their past works. Again, I feel like a non-answer. So
No. I love it. No, thank you. And the last question for today, as someone who has two startups, do you maybe have an advice for someone who is like thinking of doing his own project and develop his own startup, Is there anything you want to say?
So like the rate at which I'm building my second startup, it's like come together in 2 months. Like, and we're already getting like deals, and so much of it is learning. I mean, I've had people like, oh, it's so great to do a startup when you're young because you can make mistakes and the consequences are less. But there's also like super big benefit of like working in industries and bigger corporations and companies. So you can see how like effective management is done and run, and you can read about the stuff in class and theory, but it doesn't necessarily always translate to like actually doing it in practice and trying to think on the fly. So getting some industry experience is good. First, you have to be super hungry. Like you have to be incredibly hungry, tenacious about like, I'm going to do everything I can to be as stingy with money as possible to try to get this thing off the ground. And it's just other things, talk to as many people as possible. It's just keep talking and figure out what the minimum viable product is, the easiest little simple thing to go see if in theory your product will work and people want to pay for it and continues to pay for it. Because once you can get that, then sales and investors become open. And then once you get a couple sales in, just go start applying to accelerators. Like accelerators are going to be the difference of your connections, your knowledge, how to do a company, what people in the industry like, getting connected to people can bring you new sales, new investors. Like accelerators are the critical key, and make sure you go do ones that you are not paying for. Accelerators should not have to pay for them. They should be either paying you and they get some equity, or it's free because they believe in you. And those are competitive. You don't just get to get in them and like, all right, I get in it. They're competitive, and that's for a point. But if you can get into them, that means you have something real going on. And if you can't, that means you have to step up your game. Mm-hmm. So I think, I'd use that as a great way to see if you're on something good.
Thank you so much. It's been such a great chat. I really like your idea. I genuinely wish you best of luck with it. And hopefully by next time we have another interview, you're getting bigger and bigger and more people know you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.